You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent.
We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best man. With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan. It's a fake laugh.
It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
Meanwhile, in a small corner of the city, in the home of real bad pain...
It is another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio and the Weeby Geeks Network. It's been one of those slap-happy days, folks.
The boy's punch drunk. One too many hits with the snake.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I'm your host, Mike. Joining me is Eric. Eric, if I could talk. And Kylan, who is back from Gen Con.
Yep.
And,
on assignment.
What one building you thought was inhabited by Hydra?
You know, actually, I saw quite a few Hydra agents at the convention center, and
I'm not talking about the one at the convention center.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about that one building you took a picture of that I told you that Channing Tatum was performing at.
That was definitely a Hydra base. That was definitely a Hydra base. I ran to Captain Rogers. And I was about to see if he, but, you know, I decided not. I figured we'd just leave them alone.
Cool. Well, I'm going to say, usually I don't do product placement or endorsements really big on this show since we're both on Sorcerer Radio and Weeby Geeks. But I got from Superhero Stuff, which you could go to their link through the Weeby Geeks website. I got the Captain America Hero Box. It's so cool. T-shirt. I showed you guys the glass that I got. I do have an unboxing video that will be going up soon on YouTube. Suspenders. Shield suspenders. It's Captain America shield patterns suspenders. They're awesome. A rubber wristband, a comic, the Avengers Captain America, or no, the Captain America plate with a chip dip, or with a dip bowl attached to it. It's a good box. Run about $49. They say you could get them $70 plus worth of value. My particular box was just over $73 worth of value in it. So I thought it was a good deal.
I would say yes.
So, and then of course, we talked about briefly last week, the Playmation. My daughter and my wife went to the Disney store for their orientation at the Avengers Labs. And, I got a report from them for you guys.
Oh, really?
So here we go. And I'm with Agent Melissa, and they went to the Avengers Lab this past Sunday at the Disney store. What did you do?
We defeated Captain America with one of them. With an armband on our right hand.
And what was it that you got to do orientation for?
Playmation.
Awesome. So tell me about Playmation.
We some of us on our teeth.
Okay.
We trained a little. Worked in the...
Okay. Hold on. I don't know why this is sounding so garbled. Well, yeah, I do. Hydra.
Exactly.
It's all Hydra.
It's all them Hydra people getting in there and gunking the stuff up.
Yes. Give me a second. Let me find the other file. I'm so glad I had a backup of this file. It was Jarvis's idea, too.
Way to go, Jarvis. I blame Agent Tatum for it, too.
We never said he was an agent.
Yeah,
he's an agent for Hydra. He's an agent for Hydra. Yep. I have sources.
Here we go. Take two. And I'm with Agent Melissa, and they went to the Avengers Lab this past Sunday at the Disney store. What did you do?
We defeated Captain America with one of them.
With one of what?
With an armband on a right hand.
And what was it that you got to do orientation for?
Playmation.
Playmation. Awesome. So tell me about Playmation.
We some of my abilities.
Okay.
Train a little. Worked in the.
What are you?
Oh, they can see you on the radio, baby. You would hold your arm out like Iron Man and do palm blast with the Iron Man
awesome.
Gauntlet that you got to wear on your arm. And you could do a missile launch, and you would utilize it as a shield to protect yourself. And you could also just shoot.
Just shoot.
Yep, you could just keep shooting until you defeated them.
And we also got lanyards.
Lanyards? What about name badges?
A name badge in the lanyard.
Awesome.
Did you have a good time while we played the games?
Yep. And two people had to go to New York City, and when Jarvis came back again, he was telling us that two more people had to go to New York City, but you were scared because Ultron would defeat him, but we defeated
him. Okay, just a quick pot. New York City, that's a section of the store. They got into the store before the store opened to the public.
Okay.
So they were able to get in prior to. They had the whole store to themselves. So, I guess to continue.
They earned 18 power to get trained. Well, we were supposed to be there and just back name bad.
Hydra got all over this. Gauntlet.
You sure this wasn't
the device?
You sure this wasn't
yes. Get the base.
The base yes. And two figures. You get Captain America and Red Skull.
Iron Skull. Red Skull and Iron Man armor. And then get a third figure of your choice?
That's what they were telling us with the Disney pre-order. That doesn't happen anywhere else. Only at Disney.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So, to go back and cover this, you order at the Disney store, pre-order, by October 4th. You get your base, your gauntlet device, Captain America, Iron Skull.
Iron Skull?
Yes. A special wallet with supposedly an Avengers badge. A third figure of your choice that you could pick that goes with all this as well. And like a couple, I think a few other things.
Wow.
If you pre-order through the Disney store. So if you go to Toys R Us and get it, you're just going to get the one figure. You got to buy everything else. Go through the Disney store, you get the two figures, which I believe Iron Skull is exclusive. And you get a third figure of whatever happens to be in stock when you pick it up.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
I'm not going to play any more of this because it got really garbled. And I don't know why, because when I played it back earlier, it sounded fine. But yeah, they had a great time. $119 do the pre-order. You're going to get almost it almost turns into $150 value by the time you're done.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
So yeah, it's worth it. It really is. Even my wife says she had fun with it.
Oh, good.
Okay.
So, now having fun, let's talk a little, well, let's see. Wait for it.
Okay, do them for him, too.
Well, okay. So I guess that would be one thing and one thing only. Now, if you're a longtime listener to this show, at least a long enough time to cover the time that I've been part of it, from the get-go, this Fantastic Four movie, we have called it by one name and one name only, Fantastic Flop. And, well, it's come out today being Thursday the 6th.
Now, which movie is this again?
The Fantastic Flop.
Now, Jarvis was delayed on that first time.
Hey, well, you know, apparently he's been a little garbled, too. I blame Ultron.
Okay.
I blame Josh Trank.
Okay, well, Josh Trank's going to do his share of blaming, too, here in just a minute. Of course, there was that embargo, quote-unquote embargo.
Yeah.
To where, you know, you really weren't supposed to put out a review.
Until 9 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah. Well.
Sorry.
It's probably a good thing because, well, most of the ones that did, well, let's just say reviews have been pretty consistent. And the best summing up of this movie I've ever seen, or pretty much any movie for that matter, comes from Todd McCarthy at The Hollywood Reporter. This review came out on, let's see, 2 days ago on the 4th, which would be Tuesday. The opening line of his review says, Fantastic Four feels like a 100-minute trailer for a movie that never happens.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not going to... I'm really just not going to go into the review. I'm going to... The guy does come up with, even if lip service is paid to some great threat to life on Earth as we know it, the filmmakers bring nothing new to the formula, resulting in a film that's all wind up and no delivery. If the writers couldn't think of anything interesting to do with these characters in this first series reboot, they do nothing to inspire the viewer to expect they could do something exciting with a sequel.
Ooh.
Rotten Tomatoes, at the time of our recording, has this movie at 9%. Nine. Ooh. This movie cost $120 million to produce.
That's 120 million too much. Oh, wait, you said 190?
Okay. No, I said 120.
Okay, yeah, it was 120 million too much.
Wasn't Ant-Man, wasn't its production value like 130?
It was 130.
Okay. Now, the production values being kind of equal. Yeah. Well, and of course, Ant-Man pulled in $58 million on its opening weekend. Fantastic Flop is expected to debut opening weekend, haul in $40
million.
40.
Yeah, right.
Also debuting this weekend is Shaun the Sheep, a minor character from a Wallace and Gromit short who got his own TV series and now has his own movie. There are theories out floating out there. There are expectations out there that Shaun the Sheep will outdraw the Fantastic Flop this weekend.
And just how bad will Josh Trank feel then?
Oh,
I see what you did there, Mike.
I feel kind of sheepish that I wasn't the one that did that. Now, as for director Josh Trank, he took to Twitter this afternoon. Mistake number one for this day. He tweeted out, quote, "A year ago, I had a fantastic version of this, and it would have received great reviews. You'll probably never see it. That's reality, though." Hey, can you guys hear this? That's Josh Trank trying to throw Fox under the bus.
Yep.
This tweet was quickly deleted from his account. Unfortunately, an instant on Twitter is a lifetime on screen grabs. The screen grabs of that tweet are circulating like you wouldn't believe.
Wait for it.
And?
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I thought I heard something.
I thought I heard something, too.
I thought I did, too.
Okay, never mind then.
Oh. Ooh.
Like Ross Perot said back in the early night, there's this great big sucking sound, and it's coming right out of Fox Studios.
Oh,
apparently, spokesman for 20th Century Fox could not be reached for comment, which is probably for the best, because we're pretty sure that the comments Fox would have are not going to be that flattering. So, y'all excuse me while I do my happy dance of being proved right all along. And y'all join in on this because y'all been just as right as I have on how crappy this movie's going to be and is. And let's just start the countdown for Fox turning over the rights to the Fantastic Four back to Marvel Studios.
I give it 3 months.
I think it's going to be a year. But DC gave their response to all the Fantastic Four reviews.
Yeah?
Really? Yeah?
I'm sorry, your answer must be in the form of a question, but thank you for playing.
Yeah, I got a question. Why was this movie ever made?
You know, I didn't feel good about it from the start. I didn't. I was trying to reserve judgment. I was really trying to reserve judgment.
Well, that was your first.
The more I saw, the more discouraged I was. I wasn't trying to be that fanboy, but I knew, and oh.
Well, all the fans out there, they're feeling this.
Rejection. How I missed you.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
That was, I mean, ooh.
There will be some people who go to this movie and say, well, it can't be that bad. they'll probably come out going, yes, it can.
I get the feeling that they will walk in, you know, with at least some glimmer of hope, and they'll walk out thinking, like, I've been brutalized, because I think that's how you're going to feel.
Meanwhile, you've got Ant-Man, the other movie. It's like you had the Fantastic Four, who was the flagship group for Marvel Comics for oh so many years.
Yep.
Looks like it's going to pull in about $40 million over the opening weekend. And now you've got Ant-Man, who pulled in almost $60 million on his opening weekend and is now just under $300 million at the worldwide box office.
See, yeah, and you know, the Fantastic Four was the first subscription that I ever got, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Even the sorry NBC series that had Herbie the Robot,
dude, I love that one.
I will say, I wanted Human Torch.
Well, yeah,
but they couldn't, you know, because of licensing rights,
right? And even that one Fantastic. After the first movie.
Oh, the 94 series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, not the 94 series. The one that was on the Cartoon Network. Kind of had an anime look to it.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one, too, but I don't know. I did not feel good about this one, and...
Okay, this is how bad Fox should feel after making three Fantastic Four movies. The best Fantastic Four movie that has seen the big screen has been The Incredibles.
I agree.
I mean, when Pixar is not trying to do a Fantastic Four movie and they still succeed at making a better Fantastic Four movie than you ever did.
Well, it's a shame, too, that the one Fantastic Four movie that has the best script is the one that never made it to screen.
That's why I quantify that.
True. Yeah.
With on the screen.
I don't know. Maybe somebody could pull it up, dust it off, and give it a shot.
I think Fox sure will try just about anything at this point.
I know Marty Langford and Mark Sykes are doing a documentary called Doomed, The Untold Story of Roger Corman's Fantastic Four. And they're talking about, you know, how they went through the whole production of the movie, it getting made, and then just all of a sudden being shelved, and no one knows what happened to it until they started seeing it pop up at conventions as bootlegs.
Right.
That's how I saw it.
That's how I saw it. But it was never meant to see the light of day.
Which is sad, but, you know, maybe it was kind of a mercy. I don't know.
So.
Wow. I feel like we should do a 21-gun salute for this movie.
No, I think we need to have a burial at sea.
I think 21 guns are needed to shoot this movie.
I don't think that's enough guns.
Was Jarvis's take of the movie?
Unfortunately, we.
Yeah.
Even Jarvis doesn't like, man.
Jarvis is usually the most charitable out of all of us.
He is.
Yeah.
When he says it's bad, you know, it's bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we.
He can't even bring himself to finish the sentence.
Yeah, I'm like, he's so broken up by the whole thing. I'm sorry, Jarvis.
Unfortunately, we cannot ignore the inevitable.
The inevitable being...
It's a flop.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's so, a super-powered Ishtar. That's what it is.
I saw someone on Facebook, on one of the various pages I'm on, go, "Wow, you haven't even seen the movie, and everyone's so harsh on it. No, so hard on it." I was like, no, have you seen the people who have seen the movie? It's quite justified. Yes, I have. We have been hard on it from the get-go because of the stories and everything else, and it's proving to be justified.
I mean, there's not been one thing that we have heard. There's not been one production detail or one bit of trivia about this movie in its entire production that gave us any kind of positive warm fuzzies. It was always, it's tight to quote every Star Wars movie, "I got a bad feeling about this."
Well, you know, I think I said that to my wife when I first saw the trailer. Pretty sure I did.
Yeah. Just everything I've seen is kind of like, okay, you know the best footage I have seen about this movie? That is the Thing burger at Denny's.
Yes.
That's the best Fantastic Flop footage I have seen.
That's a stretch.
That's a big stretch.
Yeah, but that's a good-looking burger.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what the other good thing, the only good thing that came out of this?
Please, what? Tell us, Mike.
The fact that the Daredevil trailer is attached to it.
Oh, yeah. But that's okay, because sooner or later somebody's going to pirate it and upload it to YouTube anyway.
Why?
So now you can see the trailer. You don't even have to sit through the movie.
Fox has already released it.
See, I rest my case.
With Daredevil Season 2?
No, I mean Deadpool. I'm sorry.
Oh, Deadpool.
Deadpool trailer. Yes.
I did that last week, too.
I was like, what?
Okay.
Daredevil's out?
Yes. All right. There's a slight yet crucial difference between these two characters, Mike.
Are you trying to say that's also the show name? There's a difference between Daredevil and Deadpool?
I'm thinking that could be. That could be. Yes. For instance, one is a lawyer. The other is not.
Yeah, there's that. One is sane. The other is not.
Well, that's debatable.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So, y'all seen the trailers, right?
Oh, yes.
It is a thing of gory, bullet-ridden beauty.
They got it right this time.
Yes.
Favorite Easter egg in the whole movie, in the whole trailer?
Whatever you do, don't put me in green. Don't make my suit green, and don't make it animated.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was great as well.
Like you said, they got it right. And this is how you do a Fox movie character right.
Yes.
You stay true to the concept. And I'm not, when I say you stay true to the concept, I am not talking about where, oh my God, they made the Human Torch a black guy. No. That is like the only part of this movie I don't have a problem with.
People only have problems with it and up until the point that they explain, oh, this is why.
Yeah.
He's she's black, adopted. She's white.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, fine.
She's adopted.
That's the explanation we're accepting.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not an out there explanation either. It's very down to earth. You see this happen. You hear it happen. It's like, okay, mundane, you know, answer solved. Right. Let's go. Yep. I'm talking about you stay true to the character. You don't try to make them something they're not to begin with.
No.
When you have actors who care about the characters, whatever you say about Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern,
he is Deadpool.
He is a Deadpool fan. It shows he is trying to do it right.
He even tweets. Because my wife follows his Twitter account, and he tweets as Deadpool. Like, he's just, you know, he has the voice, and every time, everything you see him in, you know, especially everything that was leading up to the trailer being leaked, or the test footage being leaked, and after, you could tell that it wasn't a labor of love for him. This was a labor of obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And so now, I mean, even just from the trailer, it's hard for me to think of anybody else playing it. Because, I mean, it's just, this guy gets it. This guy lives it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
There is no other choice.
No.
So, well, I guess to wrap up movie news, going back to Ant-Man, Marvel and Google kind of did something fun, and I'm trying to figure out why my laptop is, like, wobbly. They took us deeper into the world of Ant-Man, and a lot of people didn't catch it.
What?
The story of Ant-Man deepened in new ways when Marvel partnered with Google for a series of in-world videos from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There were three videos from WHIH, and another that aired from Wired Insider that gave more of a backstory behind or on Scott Lang, Darren Cross, and Hank Pym leading up to the film. The first one, the website Mashable broke, featuring Christine Everhart covering not only the aftermath of the Avengers battle with Ultron and Scovia, but a profile on Scott Lang. And this is all was leading up to his release from prison. She reminded viewers about Lang's story as she announced an exclusive interview with the man on the eve of his release from prison. The next video is from BuzzFeed showing Scott Lang got captured on security videos, breaking into VistaCorp CEO's home, where he accessed the company's database in order to return $4 million to tens of thousands of alleged mismanaged customers.
Cool.
And before he left, he managed to find a new parking spot for the CEO's car. Let's just say it's poolside.
I saw that.
Then Wired Insider sat down with Pymtech CEO Darren Cross. And Cross spoke about how what really intrigued him with the company was what he found in cold storage, which also... he hinted as a new product coming from Pymtech. And then finally, Everhart delivered on her promise for the interview, which the interview is great. And talking about, Lang defends his actions and reiterated that his claims of VistaCorp defrauding tens of thousands of customers and that his theft was actually a refund to those same victims. Tensions flared near the end, and Scott gets the good side of a taser.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So all these are available on Marvel's website. But unless you really paid attention, caught it, these would have gone right by, and you would have totally missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they were pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun stuff, and I love when movies do something similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just more of that viral campaigning that really sells it.
Well, you know, it's awesome because all those little things that are hinted at, they're kind of treated as asides. You kind of, that fills in the little nooks and crannies for you. Yeah. I love that, too, you know? Yeah.
News that broke tonight as we're recording this, we record Thursday nights. Show airs on Saturday and drops as a podcast on Sundays. So here we are, Thursday night recording. And Fox drops another bomb. And I'm not talking the Fantastic Flop. We're going more on the TV side. Fox has confirmed an X-Men TV series is in the works. Which is interesting, because Marvel has the TV rights to the X-Men properties. So, according to this article from comicbook.com, who they're the ones I saw, one of the ones I saw break the story, Dana Walden revealed during the Television Critics Association press tour that the network is actively pursuing a TV series based on the X-Men. We're in negotiations with Marvel, Walden revealed to the press. We're hopeful that we'll be able to announce something soon. It's something we're definitely pursuing. So, obviously, they want to be able to tie it into their movies.
Right.
So, they got to get permission from Marvel, who still maintains the small screen rights.
Okay.
That just makes this whole thing confusing. Because Marvel's got the small screen rights to Spider-Man, and could have hosed Sony left and right.
Right.
So, Walden also clarified that an X-Men TV show, which he described as a long-running series, could only include characters from Fox's X-Men movie universe, as per licensing contracts with Marvel and Marvel Studios. The characters from the X-Men franchise are with Fox on the feature film side, so we won't be including Marvel characters that are at ABC with Disney. So what are y'all's thoughts on X-Men possibly returning, if you consider Mutant X a previous attempt at it, or this new X-Men series coming to Fox?
Here's the thing. For some reason, I can't see it being a straight up X-Men series. For some reason, I see it being more like X-Force or maybe New Mutants or something along the lines of that, which I can see it being more of a companion to Fox's cinematic X-Universe. That being the case, I could see Marvel being okay with that.
Which X-Men series primarily focuses on the team that... The only thing I can compare it to is like with DC with their Gotham Academy, where it's more based at the school.
For the team, in terms of TV series, this sounds, that would sound more like X-Men Evolution.
Yeah.
Well, I was wanting to say, I thought there was a series or a team, like I remember from when I read Battle of the Atom, which I absolutely hated. It's when Peggy Sue got married, meets the X-Men. That one of the teams, it was Gene ran the school.
Oh yeah,
and it was like that title.
Oh,
was that Uncanny?
Was it Uncanny or was it?
Or was it the all new X-Men?
It might have been all new.
Yeah, might have been.
Okay,
but what I see in this, if I'm Marvel, if I'm Kevin Feige, if I'm the appropriate Marvel in charge, I'm going to say, all right, Fox, you want to do this TV show. We acknowledge that y'all are not going to give up X-Men movie rights, you know, anytime in the near future.
Mm-mm.
That's okay. We don't need X-Men franchises. We are doing well without them.
Right.
So you say you want X-Men TV rights? It's going to cost you the Fantastic Four's movie rights.
Which I think after this weekend, they'll have that power.
Yeah,
I think they will.
I think if they're in negotiations right now, then that means I wouldn't be surprised if Marvel Studios is going, we're going to freeze until after August 7th.
See, that's just what I would do, because you know, you might as well just go ahead and hang up the argument, we want X people back.
Right.
You're not going to get it. Fox is too entrenched. There's been too much bad blood on that front.
Right.
So what do you do?
Unfortunately, Fox has kind of done it right.
Fox, okay.
Yeah, they have.
Rather than saying they've done it right, I'll just say they haven't screwed it up that bad.
Wolverine.
They haven't screwed it up. Okay. All right. Compared to this fantastic flop movie,
true.
Wolverine was a work of cinematic art.
Oh, my God.
Origins was.
Yeah.
But
see, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With Marvel, you basically just concede that the X battle is a lost cause. So what do you do? You get every other franchise that you can. And you use that X. Does Fox own anything other than X-Men and Fantastic Four at this point? Because they let Daredevil go back. They let Punisher go back.
And they let
they don't have anything else.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I angle for. I said, give us Fantastic Four back and give us some extra money.
The only other property out there that people are not sure of is Namor. And that speculation there is Universal.
But supposedly
Sony has right. Well, no, not Sony. Marvel supposedly has the rights back too. So,
well, I'm not okay. Namor is a Phase 6 movie. All right.
Six.
I wouldn't put it in three. I wouldn't put it in four. I wouldn't put it in five. I might put it in six.
Oh man.
Just let Sony have them as part of their Spider-Man Namor crossover.
That's what you do. You get them back in. You wait a few years.
True.
Put a rebooted Fantastic Four. And of course, the reboot fatigue that has plagued Spider-Man, I don't think would plague Fantastic Four, because I think the movie going public are going to be really eager to forget this one was ever made.
Exactly.
What was me?
Exactly.
And I would call it, and Mike is going to hate this, but if they get the Fantastic Four back, it opens the possibility for an Illuminati movie.
Bite your tongue.
Or here's the thought. Okay. What if you made the Fantastic Four Inhumans?
Oh. Well,
Johnny's already there in the comics.
Right.
Yeah. Think about it.
The way the story goes, they were hit with cosmic rays.
Yes.
But we don't know. We really don't know that those cosmic rays could have been the space version of Terrigen Gas. Right?
Right. We really don't even know. We don't even know for sure that those cosmic rays weren't Terrigen Gas.
And the Inhumans have been hanging out with the Fantastic Four an awful lot over the past, 40, 50 years?
We could finally see Lockjaw making an appearance.
That's why my wife is excited. She wants to see Lockjaw.
I got this idea.
Uh-huh.
What if the cosmic rays that the Fantastic Four were exposed to was Terrigen Gas?
That sounds vaguely familiar, Mike.
I think we heard that somewhere before.
You just need to jump in.
What if C-A-T spelled dog? Oh, yeah, Dog's Revenge and Nerve Restaurant. I'm sorry.
Dude.
Sorry.
Did I actually just repeat what you said a minute ago?
I think you might. No, no.
Okay. I'm just checking.
No, because I was saying what if, and you said that it could be.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, it's live.
Just making sure that I didn't just, fall off of the carousel at some point.
Because the thing is, now I'm sitting there thinking about it, in all the years that I've been reading Fantastic Four, nobody has specifically said what the cosmic rays were. They just said cosmic rays.
It's like a catch-all thing, kind of like, coffee creamer. You don't know what's in it. It's just creamer. It's just cosmic rays. Well, what kind of cosmic rays? I don't know. The cosmic kind.
See, Stanley had a bad bagel with latkes on it.
Oh, there you go.
Or what locks and came up with the whole cosmic rays story.
That would see. Now I'm gonna sit there and think about this for the rest of the night, because that's a really good. That's good.
Yeah, well, it's like
I just had a question. If they were affected by cosmic rays, which side did they order from? The chicken, the burgers?
I'm thinking Bay 2.
You didn't.
And did they have the hot plastic cheese before it went away?
Ben did. That was a bad reaction.
And was the soundtrack provided by Sunny Eclipse? Okay, if you're listening to this show on Sorcerer Radio, you're getting all this. You're understanding. At least you should. Now, if you're listening to it in podcast format, there's a chance. To fill y'all in who may not know what we're talking about, there is a food service place in the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. It's called Cosmic Rays Starlight.
The other place.
The other place. Yes, Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe. It's there in Tomorrowland, and it's actually one of my favorite places for quick service in the Magic Kingdom, because it's a pretty good variety, and they have an audio animatronic lounge act, an alien singer named Sunny Eclipse. So, yeah. So that's... I'm going to be honest, the whole time that we were talking about Cosmic Rays, that was running through my head. So leave it to Mike to just put a voice to it.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
Day 11, test 37, configuration 2.0. Lack of a better option, dummy is still on fire safety. If you douse me again and I'm not on fire, I'm donating you to City College.
That's one of the best lines in the whole movie. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So anyhow, moving on to other TV news.
Yeah, to a TV show that actually is going and going well and going into its third season. Woo-hoo! I mean, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you remember in the season 2 finale, Agent Phil Coulson lost a portion of his arm to the Terrigen Crystals. But he was saved from becoming a permanent charcoal briquette by Mac the Axe, who basically takes him for a Luke Skywalker there.
Yep.
So the actor who plays Phil Coulson, guy by the name of Clark Gregg, who by the way is married to Ferris Bueller's sister and Jennifer Grey, who also was Baby in Dirty Dancing. So the two things you do not
in the corner.
The two things you do not do around this gentleman are touch Lola or put Baby in the corner.
No.
So he sat down with Comic Book Resources, and they asked him, how's Coulson faring without his hand so far? And he said, the thing about the Marvel Universe is, even if you don't have a hand, you can rest assured you're going to get one. I do know that he starts off with a kind of prosthetic, and I have a feeling it's not the last prosthetic you'll see. And what did I say when that happened? Stark Industries Repulsor Hand. I'm telling you. I'm calling it, dude.
Oh, Repulsor Hand. That would be awesome.
They asked him, was it a specific Marvel Phase 3 allusion to Empire Strikes Back, or was it just a story coincidence that he got his hand cut off? He said, I don't know. I mean, I'm such a Star Wars fan that at first I thought they just did that for me because I wanted to be like Luke Skywalker. So I just want him to go up to somebody and go, I am a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent like my father before me.
Awesome.
They asked him, how different is Coulson now, or is he essentially the same man? He says, I think everything that happens to you changes you, and everything you lose stays with you. It's funny. It's a big part of who I understand this guy to be. He's been through a lot at this point. He's died. Yes. He's died once for certain. He's almost died several more times.
Yeah.
He said, how much later do we rejoin him? In other words, where does season 3 pick up? He says, I don't have a number, but it feels like definitely some months. Let's see. He said, can you say, talking about Constance Zimmer, who is joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a recurring role. Constance Zimmer is, she is playing, oh, get this, an as of yet unnamed antagonist for director Coulson.
Mm.
Anytime they bring in somebody, it's like to butt heads with Coulson.
Yep.
Just anytime you hear the words recurring character, and that's what you think. He says, can you say, go ahead.
Because he's a great babysitter.
Well, that's true. He says, can you say,
by Director Fury to use any means necessary to keep you on premises. If you attempt to leave or play any games, I will tase you and watch Super Nanny while you drool into the carpet.
There you go. They ask him, can you say anything about what kind of character that she plays? He said there are a lot of things about her that make her feel like a very similar character to Coulson. There's a lot they have in common and some very specific themes that they do not. They asked him, you're a big comic book fan. How early did you figure out that Sky was Daisy Johnson? I thought this was a good question to ask him. He said, I had some theories and I saw it coming a little bit beforehand, but not much. Says his theories all got shot down.
Oh.
He said, are there any characters you'd like to interact with more this season? I love his answer. He says, I can never get enough Fitz and I can never get enough Simmons. And it has been revealed that, yes, Simmons is returning for season 3.
Okay, cool.
I would love to see her be the Venom Gotham symbiote. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was on the poster from San Diego Comic Con. She was on the poster,
So, speaking of Comic Cons and posters, let's cover a little Marvel Unlimited. Who has this week's pick of the week for Marvel Unlimited?
I confess, it's him.
It's me, Kylan. I'm bringing it to everybody. I picked the Marvel Knights Punisher series from Marvel Unlimited, and I picked the entire series. Marvel Knights, for those of you who don't remember, was an imprint from late 90s through, I think, maybe mid-2000 somewhere. And it took some lesser-known or less popular characters at the time. There was Moon Knight, Daredevil, Punisher, and I believe Ghost Rider may have been one of them. And so the books are intended to be either standalones or really short miniseries, like maybe two or three issues at the most. The stories are pretty gritty, but great writing. I loved everything Marvel Knights, and to see that under Marvel Unlimited, I had to jump all over it. So that is my pick and recommendation.
Cool. Well, awesome. That brings us up to that time of the week, and that is... And that is the Mighty Marvel Geeks new Comic Book Day Picks of the Week. And this is for August 12th. I don't know about you guys, but when I saw what's coming out next week, there's one that's on my pull list. And I had problems picking others that I'm like, this is, if I got the spare cash, this is what I'm going to lay down. I don't know if it feel that way for you guys as well.
It did. There's some stuff that I really, if I had the cash, I'd be picking this up in addition.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say last week, I was right, and I'm ticked at the whole calendar for Marvel, because...
Hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Did release last week. So wrapping up, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad was number 5 last week. And it was not on the calendar.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we discovered a couple of our picks that we had did not come out last week. Maybe Eric's first pick.
Yes, my first pick was supposed to be one of my picks last week. It is Planet Hulk number 4. And I've been picking this since it came out. It says 4 months running. Written by Sam Humphreys, penciled by Mark Laming, and cover artist Mike Domundo. Devil Dinosaur says,
buy this comic because, rawr, grr, if you don't, I will eat you and your family.
That's exactly it.
Any relation to the Norse squirrel god?
You know what? I don't know. Just the whole thought. I have been picking this title since the beginning simply because I was drawn in by the thought of Steve Rogers riding Devil Dinosaur through the land of the Hulks on Battleworld. And I'm just kind of like, this is kind of like one of those memes where you say your argument is invalid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Only if you get Chris Platt in front of him doing his Jurassic World.
Yeah, his Jurassic Boogie. So that is my first pick of the week.
Cool. How about you, Kylan?
My first pick of the week is Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commanders number 3. Writer is Jerry Duggan, and the penciler is Salvador Espin. Cover artist is Riley Brown. Shikla and the Howling Commandos travel to Weird World and must battle their way through the Temple of the Manticore. And how will the monster Metropolis survive Dracula's wrath? I don't know. So I guess I have to read to find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
My first pick for this week is Inhumans, Attilian Rising, number 4. Writer is Charles Soule. Black Bolt undergoes the same interrogation that killed a Ghost Rider in number 1. Can he survive? The Resistance makes its big push against Medusa's royal rule.
Okay.
So that's it.
All right.
On to the number 2s.
My number two is a number three. Thor's number three, written by Jason Aaron, penciled by Chris Sprouse, and who is also the cover artist. After a series of brutal and mysterious murders, the Thors have finally brought in a suspect for questioning, Loki. But how does one get the truth from the Prince of Lies? The Ultimate Thor is about to find out.
Okay. Well, Kylan, you're number two.
Master of Kung Fu, number four. Writer is William Hayden Blackman. Penciler is Delibor Talagic. And the cover artist is Francesco Francavilla. I really didn't mean to say it that way. But the Kung Fu saga concludes. Shang-Chi continues battling through the 13 chambers to face his father, the immortal Emperor Zhu. But first, he must defeat his rivals, Rand Kai, the great master of the Iron Fist, and Red Sai, deadly leader of the Red Hand.
Okay. Yep. Well, my number two pick is a number two, Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde. Writer is Stan Humphries. The most legendary star-crossed lovers in the Marvel Universe crash land on Battleworld. Star-Lord and an Age of Apocalypse Kitty Pryde wage love and secret war. Will love tear us apart again? See, the problem there is they're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to go there.
See, it's funny because
it's true,
but that's man, I'm not gonna look at that cover the same way. I'm gonna hear you say that. I am.
Yep.
So we're on to our third picks.
My third pick is another number three. It is Ghost Racers number three with cover artist Francesco Francavilla. And if this is the same guy that I'm thinking of, I think I covered, I colored some of his work when I was at Dagger, because his style looks kind of similar.
Okay.
But I'm just going to hope, because I like this guy's guy. I just want to say that I did some of his stuff. But anyway, the real death race begins. Robbie Reeves, fugitive. Can the all-new Ghost Rider outrace his doomed destiny? And what kind of vengeance will Johnny Blaze, Danny Ketch, Alejandro Blaze, Slade, and Zero Cochran unleash on him?
Wow.
So this is kind of like Ghost Rider Family Edition.
What are the Thanksgiving dinners like?
They're very well done.
Oh, that was ghastly. Soul crunching.
I can't come up with a pun bad enough for this. I really can't.
I ain't got a ghost of a chance on this one.
See.
We spooked Kylan.
Yeah. I wanted to say something involving chains, and I'm like, I really can't.
So all we just get is dead air.
I'm trying to get in the spirit of the occasion, guys. I'm sorry.
Boo!
I'm glad you weren't tied. You weren't chained down to that joke.
All we need now is Jacob Marley in here and the Three Ghosts of Christmas.
So Kylan, your number three pick.
My number three is another number four, and I am playing in the Universe 2099, Secret Wars 2099, number four. The writer is Peter David, which is...
Love his stuff, man.
Yeah. Penciler is William Sliney, and the cover artist is Dave Raposa. Miguel Stone bears his talents for the first time. The Avengers of 2099 take on Alchemax. You know what the thing is? Peter David, I'm there.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Yeah. That's all I need. Peter David, there.
Yeah. So, well, my final pick for this week. Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
What could it be? I don't know.
And I did my very first. Did you guys see my very first dub smash?
No.
Check Twitter.
Now I'm gonna have to go look.
At Marvel Geeks on Twitter. Let's just say it's Howard the Duck related.
You're not singing along to this song, are you?
No.
Okay.
So my last pick for the week is Howard the Duck, number 5. Writer is Chip Zdarsky. Penciler is Joe Quinones. The world's greatest superheroes fight to save New York and possibly America and parts of Canada.
And parts of Canada. Well, that's good.
So, yeah, they could be champions of the world and Canada, too.
Okay.
Harold
the Duck, Howard, his long-lost cousin.
Howard and Tara Tam learn a lot about each other and themselves. Communication is life. Be inquisitive about people you surround yourself with. And the interns go, retailer note, this issue is a Howard the Duck number 4 tie-in. So yeah, that's it for this week. And any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I think we need to say, to just have a moment of silence for the Fantastic Flop, in sympathy for these 4 brave actors that took on the roles of a lifetime. Not necessarily their lifetime, but somebody's lifetime, I'm sure.
Yes.
We say goodbye to their once promising careers.
There's always lifetime.
Going back to...
No, there's not.
No.
No. Oh, there's not. Oh, sorry. There is no Lifetime movie. Sorry.
They can always go join the Ghost Racers. Because after this movie, they're just going to be...
Oh.
No.
No. No, I hear a song and I want to be piloting the Milano.
Yeah, that one's just too lively for where their careers are headed. We...
See a lot of this happening this weekend.
What, drinking pina coladas or trying to escape?
Them trying to escape inside of a pina colada glass.
Now appearing at Fridays, the cast from Fantastic Flop.
Hail Hydra.
Happy hour.
Hail Hydra.
Oh, just to clarify, ladies and gentlemen who may be listening to this, we don't normally take such impish glee in a movie failing.
We don't.
I said we don't normally.
Okay.
We are making an exception because we can't help but believe this will just hasten their return to the Marvel fold.
Yes.
We are celebrating their return. We're just celebrating a little early.
We had this comment from a listener who saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It will test your head and your mind and your brain.
Whoa.
Deep.
That is deep.
Deep is deep. The hole that this movie has dug for itself.
I can hear the Fantastic Four property channeling Journey, and I can hear the
Separate Ways,
Open Arms. That's what they're singing to Marvel. That's what they're singing to Marvel Studios.
That's what Marvel's about to start singing to them.
Yeah, come on. Oh yes,
they would be singing "Gonna Get You Back" from the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
With Dancing Baby Groot right there.
Oh, there's a clip on Marvel showing Groot on a planet of Groots.
Oh, really?
That's apparently going to be in the new Guardians of the Galaxy series that premieres in September.
Ooh, I cannot wait for this series, guys.
So, Kylan, any final thoughts, final words?
Nothing. I'm glad to be back, and... I will not be going to see the Fantastic Flop.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave it with this last note. Channing Tatum is back as Gambit. So, Jarvis, if you would.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Time to go dark.
Thankfully.
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.